Good morning, church. The first reading is taken from the book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 1 to 6. On the third new moon, after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They set out from Rephidim and came into the wilderness of Sinai, and they encamped in the wilderness. There Israel encamped before the mountain while Moses went up to God. The Lord called out to him out of the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the people of Israel, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall then be my treasured possession among all peoples, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel. The second reading is taken from the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much, Brother Sheikh, for reading for us God's word. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer as we prepare to hear God's word. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have prepared a feast for us this morning, that not only may we find pleasure in your presence, but we may be fed by your word, and by your power and your glory, we may grow to become a people for your own possession. For we pray all this in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. I wonder how many of us, years ago, you have a chance to see this movie entitled by a movie by Jackie Chan entitled "Who Am I?" A Mandarin movie entitled "我是谁?" How many of you have seen that movie? And those of you who did, you may want to watch it again. It's a very fun movie. If you haven't, I won't spoil it for you. And it is a movie about Jackie Chan, the main character. He got into an accident and he completely lost his memory. And he forgot who he was. And he didn't know how he was supposed to behave. He didn't know why he was there. He didn't recognize the people around him. And he didn't know what he's supposed to do. And I find that sometimes that is something that is a hazard. That's something that can happen to us also as a Christian. If we forget what is our identity, if we forget what is our identity, or we misunderstand it, you know, we may think that we are a social club. We come together only for the activities. Activities nice, we come. Not nice, we don't come. Or we may think that we are some kind of an elite society. We are better than others. So we come together to affirm our specialness. And we end up competing with one another for who is better, who is superior. And we judge one another. Or we may sometimes even think of ourselves as just coming together just for an event. We are patrons. We pay our tithes. We buy the ticket to attend. And then if the concert or the service, has some hiccups or not very nice, and then we will complain, we will, you know, write in and we will say, "Ah, yeah, better, I think I go somewhere else where it's more worth my time." And we get into all kinds of difficulties as a community, and we fail to live out who we are as God has called us to be. And we can end up losing our purpose. We can end up feeling false guilt, false condemnation. And worst of all, we can become splintered into different subgroups or little parties in the body of Christ. And that's exactly what is happening in the book of 1 Corinthians, which we have been studying for the past few months. It's because they forgot who are they. And today I want to talk about that subject. Who are we? Just as Jackie Chan need to rediscover for himself, who is he? 我是谁? We also need to be reminded about who we are, so that only when we get our identity right, then we can live our identity to the fullest. So today I want to share with you that our true identity is to be a people belonging to God. And that is what we say in our Holy Communion service, where we give thanks for what Christ has done for us, that He has not only forgiven us our sins, but He has made us a people that belong to one another, more importantly, a people that belongs to God. And that is what I want to share with us, and I will touch on three aspects of what it means to belong to God. First of all, the privilege of belonging. Second, the price for our purchase as a people of God. And then finally, what is our purpose? What is God's purpose for us as His people? First, I want to share with you that it is indeed a great privilege to be chosen to belong to the body of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 tells us, you are a chosen race. You are not just a people that happen to be similar, but we are chosen. And the word chosen in the Greek is eklegon. And the meaning of this word eklegon is that among many, each one of us have been handpicked. Out of many, we have been handpicked and put together into a special grouping. God has handpicked us to belong to Him. Now, I want to share with you something that I relate to very much. As I was growing up as a boy in St. Andrew's School, I really struggle with this word chosen. Because obviously I'm not a very big guy, right? I mean, I'm still not a very big guy. But then I was even smaller and I was rounder. I think I'm a bit like that marble over there. And the lesson in school that I fear the most is PE. PE, as you know, stands for physical education, right? And PE, of course, you know, 40 boys descend down to the school field. And you know, St. Andrew's School, we are known for a particular sport, right? You know what sport that is? Rugby, that's right. And we take great pride, you know, fighting the good fight, you know. Most important, whatever you do, must beat RI, you know. But sorry, RI guys. Sometimes you beat us also, lah. And then together, we try to beat ACS. And of course, SJI also, sometimes, they are also very highly placed. But this is boys, right? So here, all the boys is sent down to the field, and as usual, the two most athletic boys will be chosen as team captains. And captains will do what captains will do. They will select their team, right? So they have their main team. Each one will get chosen. Soccer, 11 aside, and so on. And then after the main team is chosen, then they will choose the reserves. I don't know how many reserves. Huh? They'll choose. At the end, you know what? I'm still not chosen. Because I can't run, I got no ball sense. They can pass the ball to me, and I can get I can look very good, getting ready for the ball to come. And then when I kick the ball, I kick this way, the ball go the other way. So I am never chosen. The only thing I end up being chosen to do is to pick the ball when it goes outside the pitch, or to carry water, or to whatever, do one of those things. Anything that doesn't contribute to the winning or losing of the game. That's me. Sorry. You have a very unathletic vicar, right? And for me, my entire identity was influenced by that. I developed a very poor self-esteem, come from a poor family, come into primary one without knowing how to speak English. And for the life of me, I could not figure out, and somehow it was never taught. I don't know why in primary one it was never taught. Why is it that we say, I am, you are, he is, they are. What? Why not you is? Why not he am? Why not they is? Why not they, she are? Why? How does it work? Nobody explains that. It was kind of assumed that you went to kindergarten. And I suppose my kindergarten not very good, huh? Maybe it's not Little Seats, Dover. And I was bewildered and I almost gave up. I said, I can never get it. How can I ever going to make it? I'm not in the in group. I felt I was not chosen. But you know what, brothers and sisters, by the grace of God,
I stand before you.
It's not because my English is good, not because of anything, but because God gave me an identity. And that identity is not based on how I'm built, not based on what kind of family I come from, not based on my academic performance. And same thing for the church in the early church, and even for the children of Israel. They were not chosen because of their qualifications. It's not because of the achievement of Jacob that he was chosen to receive the blessing instead of his elder brother, Esau. It's not because of... Pardon me. It's not because of the intellectual superiority of Daniel that he became the one that is able to interpret the dreams of King Nebuchadnezzar. It's not because of the size of the Israelite community that they were bigger than others, or they were more upright and more godly than others, that they were chosen by God, delivered out of Egypt to become God's people. Not because of that at all. You can see the verses on the screen. And even the Corinthian church, since you are studying the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul was very blunt and very upfront with them. Consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. You're not in church because you are smart. You're not in church because you are powerful. That's not what it is about. And certainly, you're not belonging to God because of your noble birth, as if you are some kind of elite. And that's who we are. We are gathered, we are chosen by God, not because of our qualifications, but simply because of His everlasting love for us. And that's what the Lord said to the people through Jeremiah. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you. God chose us, not because of us, but because of Himself, because of His love, because we are created by Him. And God is so committed that after He has chosen us, He continues to be faithful to us. I don't know, brothers and sisters, when you hear that, what response come up from your heart? My response, first of all, is that I don't deserve God. It's not because of me. I'm humble. And if God chose me not because of me, then what right do I have to compare with my brother, to tell my brother that he's not as good as me, to tell my sister that, hey, you know, you don't deserve to be here. Hey, you are not up to my standard. I don't have a right to say that, because God chose me not because I qualify. Likewise, God chose her or him or you, not because you qualify, but simply because He loves me as much as He loves you. So because of that humility, then we come to God with gratitude, and we cooperate with one another, and we serve together. We embrace and we accept one another as a gift. Each one of us, we come together, we bring our own little quirks and little problems. And very often, if we forget that we are chosen as a privilege by God's love, we will focus on each other's mistakes. We focus on each other's deficiencies. But when we realize that it's not because we are good in the first place, so why complain? But we realize that God chose us. He has placed certain qualities in us. We see each other as a gift to our community. We see one another and we discover God's greater purpose by putting us together so that we are stronger, we are better. Not because of me alone, but because of all of us, we contribute, because God has chosen us for a purpose. So first of all, we as a church, we are privileged to be chosen. We are not entitled to be chosen, but we are privileged. So the second thing is that, how are we chosen? Is there a price for which we are chosen? If we are a country club, you know, every country club, there is a price, right? You have to buy the membership. And some memberships are transferable. Those memberships tend to be more expensive, right? Some clubs have better facilities. They will cost more. Some will cost less. Or even to become part of an association, like, for example, the Mensa, which is an association for those who are very, very smart, very intelligent. You have to pass a test. You have to have an IQ. I don't know what's IQ to belong to Mensa. 150, 160. Mine only about 100, maybe 101. I will never make it. I cannot pass the test to be part of their association. But you know, for us to become part of God's family, there's also a price to pay. But that price is not paid by me and not paid by you. But that price is paid by our Lord Jesus Christ himself. When he died on the cross, and it says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Salvation is free, but it's free for us only because our Lord Jesus Christ paid the price. So you and I, we are part of the rest of humanity. We all have sinned, and we have all fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve God's judgment, God's punishment. That's what the Bible means by vessels of wrath. We are only good to contain judgment. We are only good to contain punishment. But God took us a vessel that is meant to contain all the bad things because we deserve it. But he transformed us into a vessel of mercy. And that mercy doesn't come cheap. It comes through the price that Christ paid. And that's why even with the Israelites, even walking through the desert, delivered out of Egypt, the Lord says, you shall be my possession, my treasured possession. That's how much we mean to God. Our value is not determined arbitrarily. Our value is how much someone will give in exchange for your life. What was the price for the Israelites coming out of Egypt? It was the blood of that innocent lamb that is painted over the doorposts of the Israelite families, so that when the angel of death passed through the land and all the firstborn were killed, they passed over the Israelite families. That's why every year they celebrate this meal called the Passover meal, because the angel of death, symbolizing the judgment upon Egypt, passed over them. They were not judged because blood was smeared. Life was sacrificed. The innocent died for the guilty. And that become a picture for us as Christians today. We have the destruction and judgment pass over us because Christ paid the price. And that's why 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 10 says, now you have received mercy. We have been paid, we have been purchased at an extraordinary price. But you know what? That extraordinary price is not just paid for us to be saved. I've always wondered about this. You know, if Christ died on the cross just for me to become a child of God, to be saved, why am I still here on earth? I gave my life to Christ in 1978, even though I've been born and baptized as a believer since infancy, but I fell away, I came back, and I recognized God. I gave my life to Christ. 1978, December, Billy Graham Crusade, 14 years old. If we are saved just so that we can go to heaven, why not January 1979, straight away go to heaven? Why am I still around? And that's because we are saved not only so that we can go to heaven, but we are saved so that we can come together and become a special people of God. And this special people of God is called a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You know, Christ paid the price fully. He paid 100%. But being saved is only 10% of it. Just like, you know, you buy a nice handphone like the one I have here, you know. Many of us, we buy a phone, but we only use maybe less than 10% of the capabilities of the phone. I must tell you, I'm still discovering what my phone can do. And I'm quite determined to learn the other 90% because I paid 100% for it. I didn't pay 10%. Why should I only use 10%? Right. Similarly, it has been said that human beings, we only use 10% of our brain capacity. And that's why we have education, so that we are able to use what God has given to us. So similarly, Christ died on the cross, not only that we are saved for ourselves, but so that he can call us to be priests of God. And what does it mean to be a priest? To be a priest is to be someone who worships God. Yes, I'm saved, I'm a child of God, I worship God. But that's only the 10%. But the other 90% is we live our life in such a way that our life reveals God to the people. What we do, how we do, how we live our life, how we treat people, how we spend our money, how we spend our time, reveals that we belong to God, reveals that we have a purpose, and let people see how wonderful this God is. In the olden days, when the Israelites came out of Egypt, there were other gods in the land already. and they also had priests, but according to the nature of the God, so the priests conducted themselves. There were some priests that conducted their worship. This is not God, but this is the idols. Those priests of the idols, they would ask from the people babies, literally human babies, to be burnt alive, because according to them, the God requires these babies to be killed and sacrificed. So according to the action of that priest, they reflect the nature of their God as a bloodthirsty God, as a God who doesn't give you anything for free, that takes as much as he gives, sometimes takes more. But our God is different. Our God gives more than he takes, and he calls us to serve him as his priest so that we can reveal what a gracious God, what a merciful God that he is. That's the meaning of being called to be a kingdom of priests, that together our lives, our hospitality, our grace, our mercy to others, our generosity reflects the mercy and the generosity of the God that we worship. That is what it means to be a priesthood and to bring others to also come and be worshippers of God. So you and I, we have been purchased by the blood of Christ to be a kingdom of priests, a holy nation, a chosen race, a royal priesthood. And that is not just with a snap of a finger, but there's a process. You look at how the priests were consecrated. First of all, the priests, when they are selected and it's time for them to enter the priesthood, there is an offering of blood for their own sin. They are reminded that they are also sinful. And it is literally a bloody event. I'm not cursing here, but I just using the word in the proper sense, that literally the sacrificial blood is splashed onto the candidate who is going to become a priest. Thank God, Anglican Church, we don't do that. Otherwise, it'd be a very messy affair, all right? But that was done in the Old Testament. And it is a reminder that the priest himself has sinned. And without the sacrifice of blood, God will not accept our offering. So first of all, sacrifice. And that tells us as a priest today in the 21st century that we have been redeemed by Christ's sacrifice. It's not because of our own qualification. Secondly, then there's washing of water for cleansing. And the cleansing is so that we can be refreshed. We can begin a new life. So you and I, when we are baptized in the waters of baptism, we go in representing the old, unredeemed person, and then we come out of the water, right? Dripping wet, refreshed, to begin a new life. So every day as a priest, we are starting anew. This is the power of his resurrection working in us. So we are also a work in progress. And then the priest is given a new garment to wear, and that new garment reflects the glory of God. It tells people who God is and what kind of God he is. So likewise, in the New Testament, we are also told, put on Christ, so that we begin to behave like Christ. We begin to develop the fruit of the Holy Spirit, so that when people see us, they see Christ more and more. Of course, there is a process, over time as we make mistakes, we confess our sins that we did this morning, we receive forgiveness, and we stand up, strengthened by God, to be better next time with the help of God. So that new identity, that growing Christ-likeness is part of becoming a priest of God. And then finally, we don't do things by our own strength. Just as the priests are anointed with oil as a symbol of God's endorsement and God's empowerment. So you and I, our anointing is by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Holy Spirit transforms and empowers us so that whatever we do, whether it's Richard inviting his friend who may come to Alpha, may not come with Alpha, he will not be broken by rejection. Even if his friend says no, he is not crushed. You see, he's still quite okay, right? Richard, show us your face. You're quite okay, right? That's the Holy Spirit, okay? We are not afraid of rejection. We will still come again because that's the Holy Spirit working in us. So just as the priests are anointed with oil, so you and I, we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. So that is who we are. We have been purchased with the full price. When Christ died on the cross, the last thing he said, the second last thing, if you like, he says, it is finished. Into your hands I commit my spirit. He didn't hold back anything. And that is for us to be 100% purchased for Him. No need to be a child of God, but to be a royal priesthood. So what does that mean? It means that you and I, God has an identity for us. But that identity is to be His ambassadors. Which comes to my third point, that He has given us a purpose. I know purpose is not just simply a statement that you put on the wall, you know, our purpose is to this, our purpose is to that. You know, purpose to a human being, to the human spirit, is a matter of life and death. Let me just share with you the story behind this book cover. This is a book written by Viktor Frankl. He's a Jewish psychiatrist. He treats people with mental disorders. He studies human behavior. And his book is entitled Man's Search for Meaning. And the research behind this book was not done in a laboratory. It was not even done in peacetime. It was done when he was thrown by the Nazis, the Germans, during the Second World War. He himself was a Jew, and he was arrested by the Germans who wanted to exterminate all the Jews. And he was thrown into a concentration camp to work him to death. And if they don't die from overwork, then to throw them into the gas chamber. And Viktor Frankl, in that concentration camp, he started making observations. Being a scientist and a doctor, he's very curious. He says, why do some people survive longer than other people? Fellow inmates, why some pass away very quickly? They succumb to illness, they succumb to fatigue, whatever, you know. But some, they survive much longer. And he began to observe this very important distinction, that those who live only for their own pleasure, those who live only for their own welfare, as they were being mistreated and as they suffered, and they don't have any other thing to live for than for their own survival, these are the ones that don't survive. But there were others. They live because someone depends on them. Their friend is sick. They got to, in addition to their own work, they got to come and look after their friend. If I die, who's going to look after my friend? Or they have a higher purpose. They want to encourage their fellow inmates. Or they have children to look after. They have some job. They have some purpose. They have something to live for other than themselves. Somehow, this category of people survive. Some still died, but they survive longer than those who only live for their own pleasure and for their own benefit. And it is out of this reflection and this data that Viktor Frankl survived the war, survived the incarceration, and after that he wrote this book. And he realized that even in peacetime, people without purpose have a very miserable life. But people with purpose, even though their life may be harder, because they are also living out for a higher cause, but they have more motivation, they have more joy, they have more meaning, they have more purpose, in other words, for living. And I will encourage us to read this book because it really speaks something about how God has made each and every one of us. That a human being's greatest spiritual need and the meaning of life is to have a purpose to live for. And God has given us that purpose. Our purpose, given by God, is to be a signpost pointing to Him. Listen to what Peter said. He said that you are a chosen race, you are a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God and all that, right? But for what? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Even reading it, it just sends goosebumps down my spine. Because you know what? I am the one that was delivered out of darkness into His marvelous light. When I was a university student in first year NUS engineering school, I was in depression because I didn't get into medicine, which was my dream and my vision, my desire. But when that didn't happen, I sank into this darkness that I thought that even God doesn't want me anymore. But God did something in my life, and God did that through members of SJSM who were my friends in uni in the hall, that helped me to see that even when we are going through tough times and even dark times, God is there. And God has a purpose that even our suffering, eventually we will understand why.
And God, through my friends who trusted God, who were priests to me in that sense, you know. Now, Canon Terry Wong and I, we are both priests in the Anglican Church. But he was not Canon Terry then. He was just Terry. Or he was just, actually just Yi Chung. We knew him by his Chinese name, A Chung, you know. A Chung Ho Chung Ming. A Chung was my block mate and he was my block leader. A Chung was a priest to me. And he helped me to see what it means that God is there even in the darkness. And how through that I was brought into his marvelous light. So as I began to experience being delivered, I give thanks to God. I begin to see how amazing God is, that God used Canon Terry. And more important than how great Canon Terry was, I still love him dearly as a friend today, but how great God is. So our job as a priest is, our purpose is to point to this God, that he is excellent, that he loves, that he gives a second chance, that he does nothing without a purpose, that he can bring good out of even the darker situation. That is what I mean by the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's why you and I, we are ambassadors for Christ. When we invite someone to Alpha, we're not telling them that we are good, but we are just simply telling them that I have experienced and I have encountered someone who is very good. I may not understand him fully, I'm still learning, but I want to invite you to learn together with me, to discover him together with me. Alpha Course is the place to do that. Nobody will give you pat answers. We'll respect every individual's experience in life. Your struggles are not the same as my struggles, but my God is bigger than my struggles. My God is big enough to cover your struggles as well. So let's share. Let's talk. Let's learn. Let's discover. That's what the Alpha Course is. No pressure. Nobody is pressured to convert. No underhand tactics to manipulate people. We're just coming before God. God will make his appeal through us. Right? So the last thing that Jesus said to his disciples before he ascended to heaven is simply, be my witnesses. And that's what we heard during the church camp as well. I want to encourage you to listen to the camp sermons. They're really marvelous and really powerful by Pastor Benny Ho. And his third message to us is what it means to be a signpost pointing to God. Because that is our purpose as his priests, to live as a testimony that reveals God and to invite people to come along and journey with us, to point towards God, not point to ourselves, but point towards the Lord. Because in him alone is life. And in him alone is light. So if people need life, people need light, point to Jesus. And that's what we are there for. So what is our response? Our response is to live our lives honestly, authentically, knowing that we are imperfect, but rising up each time. You know, we may stumble today, but tomorrow the Lord will give us grace to be resurrected. And we will go again, and tomorrow will be better than today. All right? And the Lord will reveal himself through us individually and as a church that he is worth believing in. And through our story, through our testimony, we can point people to Christ. And that is what it means to be a people belonging to God. It's not about how great we are, but the price has already been paid for us so that through God working through us, we can draw all men to himself. And that's why I'm still on earth today. And I trust that God will keep me on earth for as long as he wants me. He has a job for me to live out his purpose in my life. So as I bring this sermon to a conclusion, as a worship team come and lead us in this response song, we are people belonging to God. It is a privilege to be chosen, not because we qualify. If you say that you don't qualify, then you are qualified. If you say you're qualified, then you're not qualified. We are chosen only because of the love of God. And we are purchased by the blood of Christ, not only to be saved, but to serve as his priest. And the purpose of a priest, and together as a royal priesthood, is that we may point people to Jesus Christ. Would you join your hearts with me in prayer as we bow our heads before the Lord? I believe the Lord is speaking to each one of us, that we begin to realize that we are really unworthy of him. But God doesn't want us to feel bad because we are unworthy.
God wants us to feel good that He chose us, even though we are unworthy. Let's just say a word of thanks to God. Let's say to Him, Lord, I'll never understand why You choose me, why You love me the way You love me, why You paid the price for me, the price of the sinless, the only sinless human being in all of human history, the God-man, Jesus Christ, that You would shed His blood totally so that I can be saved, so that I will pass from judgment into salvation, so that I can be called to be a priest to reveal Your glory. Thank You, Lord. So Lord, today we pray, help us as a people to live not only for ourselves, for in ourselves there is no purpose, but it is only in You that we find our purpose to live for Your glory. So today, if you are here, you have heard the Lord, and you sense the Lord saying to you, I chose you to be My priest. I chose you to be My signpost. Would you just raise your hand to the Lord and put it down? And say, yes, Lord, thank You for that privilege. Will you just raise your hand to the Lord right now? Thank You. Yes, I see your hand, brother. Thank you, sister. I see your hand. Anyone else across this congregation, you haven't raised your hand, raise your hand now, because the Lord shed His blood for that very purpose, that you may be His ambassador. If that's you, just raise it up and put it down. Thank you. Thank you, my brother. Thank you, my sister. Will you stand with me as you stand before the Lord? It is only by faith that we receive our salvation. So it is also by faith that we rise up, that we join hands, and we say, Lord, we are Yours. Not only individually, but we are Yours. SJSM, as a church, we are Yours. So Lord, strengthen us. Lord, teach us. Lord, bind us together in unity. Lord, empower us that together we may be a people for Your own possession by faith and by faith alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
By faith we see the hand of God. In the light of creation's ready sign. In the times of Moses' faithfulness. Who walk by faith and not by sight. By faith our fathers from the earth. With the power of His sin and of a holy Spirit and thy God. That's what you did. But please wear peace and justice.
That's
what it is.
Praise.
With the power to break our chains of sin and death, I'd my strong effort from the grave. My favorite church was called to come, in the power of the Spirit to the Lord, to deliver captives and to preach good news. In every corner of it, we will stand. We will stand as children of the promise. We will fix our eyes on Him, our souls. We want to raise His shadow. It's not will walk by faith and not by sight.
Look at this house.
By faith, in by faith, this mountain shall be removed. And the power of the gospel shall prevail. For we know in Christ all things are possible. For all who call upon His name will stand, as children of the Lord. Our souls reward till the race is finished and the work is done. We'll walk by faith and not by sight. We'll walk by faith and not by sight.
This is right.